You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
People always seem to assume that God will win this game of life on the 30th rather than on the 20th move.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, our Father, cleanse our time of its pollutions, the sin that so easily entwines itself around us, the hopelessness which leads to despair, and the lovelessness that embitters our world. Cleanse us by the life-giving blood of your Son, that we may give ourselves as he gave himself for all of us. In his name we pray. Amen. In a world that is increasingly conscious of pollution of all kinds, John R. Silber, the new president of Boston University, has come forward with the idea that perhaps the worst pollution of all is the pollution of time. We have lost, he says, an awareness of history and of our place in time. The pollution of time, says Dr. Silber, is most often obvious in our loss of a sense of history, the loss of a recognition of the past as our own, in the loss of the awareness of any past, in the loss of the past in general. With a great sense of the pollution of sin in human affairs, Christ's men were acutely aware of the past, particularly of one event in the past. St. Paul said, God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then, in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. With sharp awareness of the past, of God's action in the past, and of the part that Jesus Christ played in that action, his men got a good grip on the present. Aware of the past and what it means for the present, St. Paul said, work together with God, then, we beg of you. You have received God's grace, and you must not let it be wasted. Hear what God says. I heard you in the hour of my favor. I helped you in the day of salvation. Listen. This is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. Much of the instant stuff with which our civilization is loaded today appears to focus on the present, but it doesn't have a very good grip on the present. We want things now. We want instant money and instant credit. We want instant abundance. We want instant pleasure. Boredom is the enemy most people fear. We want to travel fast. Even if 40,000 highway deaths a year in the United States alone is the cost for that instant satisfaction. We want to eat fast without a lot of time spent in the kitchen on preparation. Besides, we want to take off weight fast. If the cost of all this is a billion flat and flavorless hamburgers, so be it. We want instant relief from pain. If that means a nation increasingly dependent on drugs, so be it. We must be concerned about the pollution of air and water. But air can be recycled and water can be filtered. As Silber points out, we cannot recycle time. When the structure of time is destroyed, the basis for significance in our own lives is likewise destroyed. All the meaning is lost in the instantaneous. A sense of time helps to distinguish humanity from the animals. Animals live only with a feeling for the present. They do not reflect on the past. They do not anticipate the future. Only people observe their birthdays, and then only when they have something to look forward to. People with no hope have no reason to celebrate their birthdays. Today, many of the old milestones have been kicked over. Immediate relevance becomes the only test of worth in human life. We become experts in instant friendship, instant sex, and even instant marriage. Human beings cannot live that way. I don't have to tell you that. You know it. People are looking for meaning in life. They want to make some sense out of it. To make sense out of life, all of us need a sense of time. You can't understand the present without having some understanding of the past. Everything we have and everything we are depend to a certain extent upon people and events in the past. Write all of that off, and you get what we have all over these days. Nameless people running all around, seeking and not finding, hungry and not satisfied, dying without knowing exactly why. This seems to be one of those times the prophet Amos was talking about. He said, I will turn your parties into times of mourning, and your songs of joy will be turned to cries of despair. You will wear funeral clothes and shave your heads as signs of sorrow, as if your only son had died. Bitter will be that day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will wander everywhere from sea to sea, seeking the word of the Lord, searching, running here and going there, but will not find it. The prophet went on to say that the chief sufferers from the famine would be the young. Beautiful girls and fine young men alike will grow faint and weary, thirsting for the word of God. Does God have a word for our world in this time of confusion? He does. That word is in his Son, who was made to share our sin in order that we, in union with him, might share the righteousness of God. He did what he had to do in the past, to make a new thing out of the present, and to open up the bright day of tomorrow. Looking back to Christ's cross and his resurrection does not mean living in the past. Jesus Christ brought cleansing for the past with his death and atonement for the sins of the world. His saving power cleans up the present, and he himself is the best hope of our world for the future. He ties it all together. Jesus Christ is Lord. When he is recognized as Lord by anyone in this wide world of ours, life begins to make sense again. As the apostle said, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, rescued from the pollution to breathe the free air of the sons and daughters of God. Accepting Jesus Christ for what he is, the Savior of the world, is to receive the grace of God. His grace is forgiveness and life. Forgiveness for everything that is past, and life that now is, and even more is yet to be. This is God's time. He never let go of it. He is still in charge. He fills that time of ours, not just in some vague way, but in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. It is in Christ that God says, I heard you in the hour of my favor. I helped you in the day of salvation. Listen, this is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. God's time, said Johann Sebastian Bach in one of his cantatas, is the best time. In that marvelous piece of music, there is the doleful strain of humanity. Mensch, du musst sterben. Man, thou art mortal, or better still, man, you must die. Gradually, the strain of glory enters in and finally overwhelms the doleful strain of humanity. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's time, and it is the best time. Though it is God's time, it is still possible for any one of us to waste it. It can be lost on us. Each one can still go his own way, not knowing that the end thereof is the way of death. God always has the last word. St. James once illustrated that fact by comparing God to a master chess player who plays against a novice, representing man. Man is free to make any move he desires. God does not need to know how that man will move. He knows that regardless of what the other one does, he will be able to counter the move and finally to win. Man has a certain freedom, the freedom to go his own way, if that's the way he wants to go. But God's going to win that one, if not on the 20th move, then on the 30th. People always seem to assume that it will be the 30th rather than the 20th move on which God makes his move. They are greatly surprised and sometimes become very angry over the fact that it took God only 20 moves to decide that match instead of the 30 they expected. Time is important. It is God's time. Because it is his time, it is a time of grace. You have received God's grace. You must not let it be wasted. This is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. Man can go his own way and find his own end. But it takes God's grace to bring people around, to go God's way, the way of his favor, and to be saved. In all of this, time is very important. That time is now. Talk about emphasizing the present. This is it. The now generation is not the one that spends its time, its valuable time, focused on nothing but Pepsi-Cola. The now generation that really grabs hold of the present is the one which wastes not a day, not even an hour, latching onto the grace of God and then living it up in Jesus Christ. That's real living. The Bible keeps talking about eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's a present reality for everyone who has received the grace of God in Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Easter morning is good on Easter evening. It's good the next morning and the morning after that. It will be good when there are no more mornings or evenings. This is eternal life. Anybody who's got a grip on that has got a new life today. The old despair is gone. The new hope has come. Life is not just downhill from youthful strength to the infirmity of old age and finally death. It's much more than that. In Jesus Christ, there's life. As God's partners, we beg you not to toss aside this marvelous message of God's great kindness. For God says, your crying came to me at a favorable time when the doors of welcome were wide open. I helped you on a day when salvation was being offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. When Christ's men went out to tell about the marvelous grace of God, they said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Christ cleans up the pollution of time. He brightens today and makes tomorrow a time of radiant hope. This is the marvelous message of God's great kindness. You have it in Jesus Christ. Don't toss that aside. Thomas Hardy's novel, Tess of the D'Urbervilles, ends with Tess being caught and hanged. Right at the end, she's talking with her husband, Angel. Tell me, Angel, says Tess, do you think we shall meet again after we are dead? I want to know. He kissed her to avoid a reply at that time. Oh, Angel, said Tess with a repressed sob, I fear that means no. And I wanted so to see you again, so much, so much. Finally, in despair, she cries out, what? Not even you and I, Angel, who love each other so well? Thomas Hardy's novel ends with a short, hopeless comment. The president of the immortals had ended his sport with Tess. That's the way life looks to a lot of people, especially these days. If they think of God at all, he seems to them like a small boy playing with an ant, who, when bored with the game, finally kills the ant. That is what happens with the pollution of time. It finally overwhelms. It kills. The past is important to you. let it be forgiven. There is that in the grace of God. You have it in Jesus Christ. He died for you. And your sin was poured into him, that the goodness and kindness of God might be poured into you. The future is just as important to you, that you can live today with hope, which overcomes the dullness of life and conquers its despair. You have that by the kindness and grace of God in Jesus Christ. Christ lives. God really lives. This is his day, his hour. Don't waste it. Don't toss that marvelous kindness of God aside. This is not a myth to soften the pain caused by the hard knocks of life. It's not a false hope. It is solid recognition that God has acted in time, our time, and that he continues to act in our time. His action doesn't stop with time. It goes on beyond that to the other age where there will be no time. He takes death into his own heart, and eternity is the result. Eternal life in him. No man has as many choices at 70 as he had at 35. Knowing that he must pass through the narrows of death is not all bad, however. He doesn't possess limitless choices, but he must make the choices he has. He must make decisions day by day, because they're becoming more important day by day. This day is important, as is this hour. It is there for everyone, young or old. We celebrate Easter because there was death there that day, but Jesus Christ overcame that death. He's God's answer, God's grace, God's promise. As I live, you will live also. That's Jesus Christ. Now you can live. You can live as Jesus Christ lives. I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. That's freedom, the freedom of God's sons and daughters. It is the freedom of all who are in union with Jesus Christ by faith. They go his way, and he goes with them all the way. God gives. God gives out of pure grace. God gives life. Some people fight him all the way, and others accept his grace, finally, grudgingly. Take God's grace happily. Let not a bit of it be wasted on you. Take God's grace in Jesus Christ. Take Jesus Christ. Take him today, while the doors of welcome are wide open. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he's ready to save you. Take Jesus Christ today, and watch the smog blow away. Whatever it is that's bothering you, watch it blow away. Take Jesus Christ and let the sun shine. Let the rain fall and let the free air of God come into your lungs and heart. Let the grace of God cleanse your time of its pollution with faith and love, which are his to give and yours to have. Yours to have by his grace. And that is the secret of life. Amen.